I was excited to teach this class. Mainly because of two reasons. One, I can do a recap, and it's two chapters that are pretty much the same thing. So, the main thing we're going to do is kind of do a recap. So, kids, I hope you have looked at those questions that I've asked, so we can get started on that. So, question number one. Come on. And for if you can go back. This is not working. There we go. All right. So, question number one is, who is Joshua? Who is Joshua, kids? Caroline. Who is Joshua? A person who fought Jericho. That's right. That's all right. What else? Who else was Joshua? What else did he do or known for? Leader of the Israelites. So, who was the leader before Joshua? Moses was, that's right. And so Moses appointed, and God appointed Joshua, correct? What tribe was Joshua from? Ephraim, yeah. And what is the most famous thing, since Caroline kind of mentioned it, of Jericho, what was Joshua? What was he? He was a soldier, right? Yeah. So, as a soldier, let's see if I got everything. So, oh, he was one of the 12 spies, right? So, was Joshua for the taking of Canaan? Or was he saying, I don't think we can do it? He said they could do it. So did he think they were giants? But he said we can take them. Why? Who was on their side? God was. That's right. That's right. So, one of my favorite songs we're going to sing, and I need you kids to help out. We're going to start with I'm a Hard-Fighting Soldier. Well, it should go to it. There we go. All right. I'm a hard-fighting soldier on the battlefield. Yes, I'm a hard-fighting soldier on the battlefield. Yes, I'm a hard-fighting soldier on the battlefield, and I'm bringing souls to Jesus by the service that I yield. Now mirror on my head, in my hands a sword and shield. I've got a helmet on my head, in my hands a sword and shield. I've got a helmet on my head, in my hands a sword and shield. On the battlefield, you gotta walk right and talk right and sing right and pray right.
But, so, Joshua was a soldier in whose army? God's army, that's right. And can we be a soldier in God's army? Are we going to be weak? No, it's going to be weak. What should we be? Strong, right? So let's sing, I'm in the Lord's army. We might as well stand and sing this, right?
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never fly or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir. All right, good job, y'all. So, the next question is, what is your favorite story in the book of Joshua that we talked about? Your favorite story. Billy, I don't know why this isn't working. But favorite story, what you got? Sure, that'll work, because you're going to need it later. Favorite story. What about when they crossed over the Jordan on dry land, right? That's pretty cool. But that's just like they did when they left Egypt, right? They crossed on dry land. Could you imagine going to Decatur and there was no bridge? And what did you have to do? God said, hey, you can cross on dry land. Do you think you could do that? No, only God can, right? That's how powerful he is. What other favorite story do you have in Joshua? Nate, what's your favorite story? The walls of Jericho. I think that's everybody's favorite story, right? That is the best story. So, who made the walls come down in Jericho? Yes, Caroline? God did. So, how did they come down? Did they have this strategic plan? And they snuck around the city. How'd they do it? Even? With God's help? So, what did God make them do? March around the city. Now, is that something that we do today? Is that what our army's going to do today? Hey, we're going to march around the city? No. What did it show? God's in control, right? What about when the sun stood still? Think you can go to sleep if the sun is up for over 24 hours? Not me. Mm-mm. No, not me. But when the sun stood still, what did it allow Israel to do? Adults, you can help them out. Yeah. Pursue their enemies, right? Joshua said, God, make the sun stand still. And then, of course, God helps Israel defeat all of the enemies. All right. So, adults, really, is the next question for you. Why did Joshua defeat these certain cities? Billy, can you click two times? Thanks. Perfect. All right, adults. So hopefully you've thought about this. Like, why did Joshua defeat these specific cities? Because we never really talked about it during our study, I don't think. Like, I want you to defeat Jericho, and I want you to defeat Ai, and all of these other ones. Why these specifically? Besides, God promised them the land, right? Okay, so what about them specifically? Right. Yeah. So they were like military forts, right? That's really what they were. So when you have, hey, Israel came in and he defeated these cities, it's not like they went and defeated New York City, all right? It's not like this was this giant city. No, it's like they went to Fort Knox and said, I'm going to take over this, right? Because it was a military strategic reason why they defeated each city was part of it. What else? Let's think about Deuteronomy chapter 9. Why else does God want them to defeat these certain cities? Deuteronomy chapter 9 is your hint. I'm sorry? Judgment, right? But why would they need judgment? Were they pure? No, they were evil, right? What, did they worship God? No. They had false idols, right? These false gods. So that was another reason. He said, I want you to purify the land, right? So were all of the cities destroyed? No, right? They weren't all destroyed. Let's think about Deuteronomy chapter 20. Let's go there if y'all don't mind. Deuteronomy chapter 20 real quick. So he tells them two things in here that I don't want you to destroy all the cities, but I want you to do one specific thing, right? And that's to extend peace. Do you think Joshua extended peace to each city? Do you think they had that opportunity to go through and offer peace? Like, hey, you have an opportunity to repent and come to God? It doesn't really say in the book of Joshua, but God instructed and commanded Joshua to do that. So in Deuteronomy 20, it tells us that not all cities will be destroyed. But then over in Joshua 11, verse 19, it says, Joshua made war a long time with all the kings. There was not a city that made peace with the people of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. They took them all in battle. So, if in Deuteronomy 20 it says, I want you to extend peace, and then this verse pops up and it says, not a city was made peace except for Gibeon. It would show that Joshua gave them the opportunity, right? I mean, that's implied, that they had to have said, hey, you have an opportunity to come repent and be part of God's kingdom. So we said, were all cities destroyed? And Brian said, no. So what verses correlate, if you can think of, that says, hey, not all cities were going to be destroyed? Is there anything in Exodus? Well, never mind. There it is. Yes, there is. Exodus chapter 23 is one. Deuteronomy 9 talks about it. But then, what cities were destroyed? We had Jericho that we talked about. We have Ai. And then in 11, verse 13, we have the last city, right? And that is Hazor, H-A-Z-O-R. So those three cities were really the only three cities that were utterly destroyed. The rest of them weren't. Why not? Why do you think that's the case? Well, if God says, hey, I'm going to give you this land to dwell in, really can't destroy everything, right? They've got to have a place to live. So sometimes you think about, they say, oh, the God of the Old Testament, he's so harsh and he's just mean. But he's not really. I mean, he gave each city, he commanded Joshua to give each city the opportunity to repent. And I think that sometimes we miss that, right? That here's God, not only like talked about the wandering in the wilderness for 40 years, so you have those 40 years, and then they came and defeated the two cities, so there's still some more time. And it's not like every single one of these cities was defeated overnight. It was a five-year period. They still had time to repent. They still had time to change. That's what God gives to us. He gives us time. He's patient. He wants us to come to Him. And so I think for us as adults, it's really important to realize that, hey, just because they say no the first time, God's still saying, come on, there's still time. There's still time. There's still time. And I think this is a prime example of, He gave some of these people 50-plus years to come. So, what is your favorite verse in the book of Joshua? Your favorite verse in the book of Joshua. Yeah. So, I thought about going through all my pictures at work, like where I walk through people's houses and I've got to take pictures of the rooms that we're doing work in. But I would probably be here for at least 15 minutes going next. That is the most popular sign in people's home. I mean, I would say probably last week alone, three houses had that. Why is that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I mean, that's what Joshua wanted everyone to do. Thank you very much, sir. So, I did a quick search of what's the top three. And here's number one. Or, I'll put it in numerical order. Here's number one. Chapter 1, verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Second one, be strong and courageous. This is the second most popular verse in the book of Joshua that I think people have either memorized or, again, signs in their home. It's an encouragement, right? Be strong and courageous. As Joshua said, or, you know, as God told this to Joshua, and Joshua told this to the people as well, it's very true for us today. Be strong and courageous. We need to be strong and courageous. And then, of course, like you said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It's a great declaration for us to say that. Me and my house, we will serve the Lord. It shows what? Your priority is set on God. It's not focused on worldly things. It's focused on eternity. You're focused on the spiritual things that matter. Okay, so what we're really here for is Joshua 23 through 24. So, Joshua 23 and 24, if you want to turn there, you can pick either one, and it's pretty much the same thing. So, what does God tell or reveal to us in these two chapters? They fought all these battles. Well, God fought them for them. But I do have one question. How many people died in all of the battles taking over the land? So, the U.S. Army says, all right, we're going to go take, well, all of South America. How many people are going to die? Hundreds and thousands, right? 36 people with a sword only died. It's crazy. It's because God cared for them and watched over them. I mean, if you think and put yourself in that situation, especially the first time you go to battle and you have a sword in one hand and you've got your shield and you realized nobody died. and we just killed thousands of warriors. I'm pretty much going to say God is with us, and he's fighting for us, and I'm going to do anything and everything I can that he tells me to do. I mean, that alone as a warrior, you could say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, right? Be strong and courageous. How can you not? I mean, that is such a powerful thing to realize. You defeated 33 cities and only lost 36 people. 36. That's crazy. Yes, sir. Yeah. I mean, I do the most crazy and bizarre thing. I'm going to march around the city, and the walls become flat. God is powerful. God is absolutely powerful. So Joshua 23. The first verse here says that he had given rest to Israel. He had given rest to Israel. Joshua said, hey, this tribe, you get this land. This tribe, you get this land. You get this land. God's pushed their enemies away. And he says, you have rest. They've been fighting hard for 5 years, right? It's 5 years, give or take. They have rest. There's no enemies coming towards them. So that's the first thing. What else do we find here in Joshua 23 of the things that occur? And Joshua tells us. I'd say the most. Yeah, go ahead, Jeff. Yeah, he delivered them. Yeah. So God did this. He fulfilled his promise, right? He told Abraham, I'm going to give your descendants this land. And now his descendants have this land. God tells them another thing, right? And Jeff hinted at it, and that is that God will continue to push the enemies out. So not only did he give them rest where the enemies were not fighting against Israel, but he also says, I, God, am going to push them out. They don't have to do anything else right now. Which brings me to, is that the next one? So Joshua says, all right, God's doing this because you obey the law. And then he also tells them what? There's going to be some consequences if you don't. So let's look at, keep slipping back to Psalms, sorry. Let's look at the consequences here of what would happen to them. And that's really going to be in chapter 24. So Joshua says, choose now who you're going to serve today. And so they say, we're far be it from us, right? We're going to serve the Lord. And where is that? That's it. That's what I'm looking for, 23. But just as all the good things that the Lord your God promised concerning you have been fulfilled for you, so the Lord will bring upon you all the evil things until he has destroyed you from off this good land that the Lord your God has given you. If you transgress the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, then the anger of the Lord will be kindled against you, and you shall perish quickly from off the good land that he has given you. Pretty bold statement that says he's going to destroy you, right? God just destroyed all these other people by giving this land to Israel. And Joshua says, you better not do the same thing. Do not turn against and go against these false gods. I mean, that's part of the whole reason of defeating certain cities, right? He's cleansing the land. He's getting rid of these false gods, of these idols. He wants them to set their eyes on him only. Brian? I mean, these are the same people who were wandering in the wilderness who saw God wipe out their parents because they disobeyed, because they didn't have faith. And it's just a reminder. And I think that's why Joshua stresses to them in chapter 24, who are you going to choose? You have got to choose. And I'm making you stand up and say, yes, I'm going to choose God, or I'm going to choose one of these idols made with hands. Yes, sir. Yeah.
The question was, were they going to be faithful?
Exactly.
And their possession of the land was always conditional. Mm-hmm. There are religious groups that teach, no, God gave them the land forever. And these verses 14 through 16, no, it was always conditional. If they ceased to obey God, they would be taken out of the land.
Right. Yeah. You turn your back on God, he's going to destroy you. And as we read in following books, that's what happened. But then again, he always gives them a chance to come back. Dan, you going to say something? Okay. And then the last thing we just talked about, Joshua makes them be accountable for who they will serve. And I think that's very important. He stressed at the beginning, be strong and courageous. And at the end, he says, you better serve God. Look at everything he's done for you. Look at the land he's given to you. You don't even have to go out there and let's till this land and let's start with these two cows and produce whatever and then we got all these other sheep. No, it was given to them because God fulfilled his promises. He continues to fulfill his promises. So, how are Joshua and Christ similar? Or how is Joshua a type of Christ? Because if you really think about this book of Joshua, you see Christ, right? So Lane said, Joshua says, we've got to wipe, get rid of these false gods. And then in Corinthians it says, you know, evil company corrupts good morals, right? So you've got to purify. You've got to keep those things that can distract you, those things that keep you from God, out of your life. What else have we got? How are they similar? Yes, David. Yeah. Right. So Joshua gave them the physical promised land, right? He was able to give the children of God the physical promised land. Christ, he gives us the spiritual promised land, right? What about Joshua and Jesus? How similar are those names, right? They have the same name. Yeah, a lot of Hebrew historians say that's true. So what do they both mean? Savior, that's right. Absolutely. They were both saviors, right? They're both saviors of God's people. Leaders, yes. So I've got, oh, it's all up here. So they were both appointed by God, right? God appointed Joshua. And from the beginning, God appointed his son as well. They're both appointed by God. We just talked about how they both mean Savior. They gained victory by the shed of blood. So, if you think about Joshua, the warrior, he killed a lot of people. Why? To gain victory for Israel. But all it took for our victory is the blood of Christ. It's the greatest shedding of blood. That's how he's our Savior. We talked about how they both provided their people the promised land. So my question is, how are they both the successor of Moses? How are they both the successor of Moses? Brian?
This is what you're looking at. There's a very loose analogy, not really tied. But in all three, the salvation of the people came by passing through water. Hmm. Okay. Moses led them out of the promised land. Joshua led them through the water across the Jordan, mm-hmm. on dry land. And then through Christ, we go past through the water also. They're not exact.
Never thought about that, but I like that. Yes, sir.
They're both great lawgivers.
Lawgivers.
Christ,
okay.
Several times mentioned, you know, you've heard it said, but I say to you,
right.
He's also a great lawgiver, just like Moses was.
Yeah. So Moses, we have the book of the law, or they all call it the book of the law of Moses, right? And Joshua says, hey, you better follow this. I'm commanding you. You have got to follow this. What did Christ say about the law of Moses? I've not come to destroy it, but to fulfill it, right? So he was the successor for the law of Moses. He says, this was the law given to Israel. My law is perfect. It's for all. Because now we are all children of God, are able to be that. And they are the great conqueror. So what all did Joshua conquer? What all did Joshua conquer? How was he great? He conquered the land. I mean, I could put this slide up here that shows all the different cities that they went to. And you think about all of the warriors that they had to fight. All those who were on chariots. All those that were on horses. All those that were, you've got 10,000 people coming at them. How many did Joshua kill? He defeated a lot of people. And he wasn't a young little whippersnapper, right? He was on up there. They conquered fear. Yeah.
In the similar to Moses, they were extremely afraid of what would happen if the Egyptians caught them, or you know, had his own doubts about how am I going to lead this people out, how will I free them from that. But he conquered that and obeyed through faith. Well, Joshua had somewhat the same when they approached the land. Mm-hmm. How do you defeat these people? They're
like giants. Yeah.
He and Caleb conquered the fear, believed in God, had the faith in God, and moved forward. And Christ, how do you face death? How do you face a known death by people that you're there to save and push to death?
Yeah.
From the human side, he conquered that, fully went through, and is the great conqueror, conquered death.
Yeah. So Brian said, Joshua conquered fear, and Christ conquered death, and that's it. Christ conquered death. Without that, would we be here this morning? I don't believe so. Yes, sir. Conquered sin. So Herbert said, Christ conquered sin. So, how much time is left? John 38. This should be perfect timing. So, I'm going to ask Ryan, because of this whole study that we've done, I guess it's six classes now of Joshua, something like that. We've learned what? Joshua stood, and he says, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to follow God. I'm going to be strong. I'm going to be courageous. And as we've studied through this, I know what's been stressed over and over, how we're to put our trust in God. We can see that over and over of what happens when you do that. Not because, hey, you're not going to die and you're going to give you this land. It's because God fulfills his promises, right? God fulfills his promises, and he gives us that today. If he promises us something, he's going to do it. He's always true. He's always loving. And so because of that, I want us to sing this song to close out of Dare to Stand Like Joshua, because I believe, as we have studied this, we can say we're going to stand like Joshua. We're going to have the faith that Joshua has, because we can all say, as for me and my house, this body here, we can say we're going to serve the Lord, because that's what's important to us. Ryan?
Why don't we stand for this song?
We are bound, Lord. Oh, no.
that's pretty much all I've got slide-wise. So I'm going to turn it. We only have like 3 minutes, so worked out pretty well. I know you all have some brilliant comments that you want to say, so I'm turning it over to you now to talk about what you've liked the most about Joshua, what you've learned the most about Joshua, or some little tidbit that you have found that's going to help us be better Bible students as we have studied through Joshua. I know Jeff here has got many things because he's a wise man.
I think I've mentioned this one before. It's the importance of the word all. Time and again throughout the book of Joshua, we see the word all mentioned. And we had that again today in 23:14. And even the people says, we're going to do all that God said. That one little three-letter word, and how important that word is.
All. We've got to do it all. Just take it.